Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye, a proudly South African multi-commodity mining company. At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
CliffCentral.com.
A warm welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform, Transforming Towards an Empowered Society. I'm Adrian Groenewald, and with me, Louis Groenewald and Alison Yandu. Hi, gents. Welcome.
How's it, Adrian?
Hi, Adrian.
All right, this is great. It's an important week for us, and of course, this is our Leadership Masterclass. Go to Leadership Platform for all things leadership. Two P's in the middle, one word. And for our Leadership Masterclass, we've tried our utmost to speak to as many mayoral candidates that we can, and of course, around Johannesburg and Tshwane. And we're really happy to kick off with the mayor of Johannesburg, who's also the mayoral candidate for the ANC. And then at 5:30, we're looking at the rest of them. So a couple of standard questions. Well, it's a leadership show. It's a leadership audience. And myself, Louis and Alice will engage these leaders just for about 15 minutes each, just to get a feel for them, maybe from another angle. And we can all ask a couple of questions to them. All right. So let's go straight to our mayor, Parks Tau, who's on the line in a very busy schedule. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good day.
We thank you for jumping in at short notice. We tried not to do it that way, but we're so grateful that you're giving us a couple of your minutes, or a couple of minutes of your time. I'm sure you can't wait for this election to be over. You must be tired by now. I mean, it's just day and night, no doubt.
It's been an intense campaign. We've crisscrossed the city of Johannesburg and engaged in different types of campaign initiatives, from door-to-door campaigns to public meetings to interviews and blitzes and rallies. So it's been quite intense.
So, Mayor, just we're going to ask almost the same questions to some of the other individuals. We just want to firstly understand you as a person and then ask you about your vision for Johannesburg and one or two other questions, and then we let you go. We just want literally a taste. But just tell us about you as a person. What life philosophy drives you as a human being? Just to get personal for a moment.
Well, I always say I'm an activist in nature. So my purpose in life is to contribute to society, towards the improvement of society. That's the reason that I joined the African National Congress, that I joined the struggle for freedom in this country. And that's been the defining feature of my life.
How did you get into politics?
Well, I joined the Congress of South African Students at the age of 14 as a student activist. I guess progressed from there into the ANC, president of the Soweto Youth Congress before that. Ultimately into the structures of the ANC.
Mm. All right. Leaders, we know, need a vision. Whether it's a 5-year, 10-year, that's not the thing, but a vision of the world as they want to see it, as they hope they can change it towards. So what is your vision for Johannesburg?
It is a transformed Johannesburg. It is a city that's inclusive to all its residents, that creates opportunities for everybody to prosper. It's a city, and as I say, inclusive in the sense that when people go to cities, they are almost always searching for proximity to opportunities. And you would want to ensure that we're a city that creates that sort of proximity in terms of spatial transformation. So creating a city where people are closer to where the opportunities are, but also where we've improved mobility in the city so that people can get access to different parts of the city with greater ease. Mm. But also we're now talking about digital inclusion, which is very critical. It's now... If you think about it, the internet is considered the most influential innovation in modern civilization. So we need to ensure that the people of Johannesburg gain greater access. We've now exceeded the 1,300 mark, but the idea is to be as digitally inclusive as possible in terms of 3 Wi-Fi hotspots that we roll out, and we're targeting to reach the number 5,000 over the next 5 years.
Okay, you've been the mayor how long now already?
It's been 5 years.
So it's been five years. Wow. Yeah. So you actually look forward to another five?
I'm looking forward to another five. It's completely fulfilling. It's a challenging job, very complex, but it completely fulfills me.
So what will be different in the next 5 years? Why will you be able to achieve this vision? What makes you the ideal leader for the job?
Because, in fact, we started on the course that we're driving. We started the program of spatial transformation through our Corridors of Freedom initiative. So you're seeing that we're developing houses in places such as Europe, South Hills, and Patterson Park, close to Orange Grove. And that's about creating more inclusive cities. We're rolling out a bus rapid transit system that's anchored in Soweto, goes to the inner city, and is now expanding into Hillbrow, Marlborough, and Fenton. And expanding that into the rest of the city is important because that's the backbone of our mass transit mechanisms in the city of Johannesburg. But we're also creating opportunities for alternative forms of mobility. We're building bicycle lanes, expanding our pathways for people to be able to walk, so that the city is accessible in all forms of mobility that people choose. And in many instances, we also accept the reality that certain parts of our city are getting highly congested and we need to introduce alternatives. So if you think about what we're doing in Stanton, we're introducing a loop around the Stanton CBD, a public transport loop, so that they're on the BRT system and other public transport systems, you're able to access Stanton, which is a critical part of our city in terms of its commercial and economic role in our city. So for us, it's about creating that sort of city that's inclusive. And I'm saying the program is about accelerating these initiatives and consolidating what we've already started.
Okay, in the studio also, Louis Groenewald, the old man we call him, and he brings us brings some sanity often, leadership principles, and then Alison Yandu. Gentlemen, questions for the mayor, and then I have a few more, and then we're done.
Mr. Tao, how are you doing?
I'm okay, how are you?
Good, my brother. It's Alice here. Obviously, we've seen you over the last couple of weeks, you know, going to various places alongside the Premier. And what's been clear is that obviously there's a lot of frustrations around service delivery. How do you intend to deal with those frustrations over the next 5 years? Or is it something that is mostly being attenuated by the media?
Well, firstly, the city of Johannesburg is the leading city in terms of investment in infrastructure and delivery. We're leveraging our balance sheet more, but we're also looking at more innovative ways of raising financing. We're looking at tax incremental financing schemes that we're introducing. We're also talking to other municipalities in the province of Gauteng about a joint instrument that we want to issue in the next year that would enable us to leverage our collective balance sheets as municipalities and expand the base of our ability to raise loans, because it is about resources, and Johannesburg has demonstrated this ability to be leading in terms of cutting-edge ideas of raising funding so that you're able to address the challenges. But if you think about it from a particularly in informal settlements, one of the most critical demands people have made is, yes, we understand that the housing waiting list is long, but can we at least have regularization of our access to electricity? Mm-hmm. And we've already started with formalizing electricity in informal settlements in places such as Jurekat and Belize and Lodi. And we've said that taking into account that people actually do access electricity, and in many ways you would see adverts that call people using yoga, because in reality people are accessing electricity through their own mechanism. So rather than have it as a loss in the income statement, you'd rather have it as something that you regularize and give people access to electricity. So it is always about looking at innovative ways and also finding new instruments of funding. We, the first municipality internationally to get a grant from the Global Environment Facility of $120 million, and they've committed to continue funding the city of Johannesburg, particularly our initiative on the Corridors of Freedom, because they see it as critical in terms of this type of urban systems that we are envisioning for the city of Johannesburg.
Okay. And you as a leader, obviously, you're very aware that you're now leading in the context of a very open society with social media and accountability. How are you dealing with that pressure, Mr. Tao, to always be accounting and be seen in terms of visibility to the people you serve?
It's an important part of the job. I always say that in the first instance, we are public representatives. You are elected by the public to represent the interest of the public, so you're accountable to the public and you need to be available to the people of Johannesburg. These are the people that you serve. And in many ways, we have a responsibility to them. So I don't feel pressure from it in any way. I kind of take it as an integral part of the responsibility of leading the city of Johannesburg.
Mr. Mayor, it's interesting when you, running for mayor when one does not have a track record like a Herman Mashaba now, or maybe like you 5 years ago, is very different than when you have 5 years behind you and then you have to talk to the people. There's much more criticism, there's much more track record that one can scrutinize and so on and so forth. How have you found that very different?
It's been very different. Firstly, the last time around, the ANC did make a decision on the mayoral candidates, but it was decided not to announce. It was a very difficult campaign because you are the candidate, but not the candidate, you know what I mean. This time around, it's very different because, firstly, people are talking to you directly on the basis of your own track record, the work that you've done, and people know exactly who they are voting for. So they engage directly with the person, the policies, and the vision that you presented.
Yeah, hence Alice's very good question is, these days leaders are not just held accountable around elections, but in between.
Continuously,
because there's social media, and this is the way we actually invited the four mayoral candidates, was an open tweet. And you know, the response wasn't necessarily what we hoped, but I mean, that's the challenge you face, is that people engage you openly. The ordinary citizen have power, they have another platform from which to express their views and concerns. It's a totally different world we live in now.
It is indeed, and I think the next 5 years are going to be interesting because there's been such a focus on the local elections that people are likely to have a much more direct interest in the way in which the city is run and the issues that we're engaging with. So I do anticipate a situation where there's greater engagement to the people of Johannesburg and direct interest in the work that we do on a daily basis. I think it's going to be exciting for all of us because in many ways I think that we take for granted the work that our municipalities have, and South Africa has a unique situation because, unlike any other country in the world, our municipalities have direct powers and functions as designated by the Constitution of the Republic, and people interface with the responsibilities of the municipality more directly. So I think it's a very exciting period for local government control.
Yeah. Alice, question. Louis, one question, yeah, then I'll give the
final question for Mr. Tau from me. In the next 5 years, say you win and become mayor again, how do we deal with issues around Pick It Up, strikes involving Rea Vaya, the billing crisis? Where are we in terms of just being certain that those become, you know, a thing of the past?
Well, firstly, it's a very difficult thing to say in an environment where you recognize the right of trade unions to engage in strikes, that you can say you would completely eliminate strikes. I don't think that it's completely possible, but we should improve the labor relations environment. And I have found that in our interface with labor, in many instances, it is the difference between the individual managers of the organization and labor that destabilizes certain parts of the organization. And we have to improve the relationship so that we are able to reduce the levels of action, particularly unprotected action in areas such as Pick It Up.
Yeah.
And we have to ensure that our management is cognizant of the need to manage the labor relations environment much better. But going forward, we do want to involve people a lot more in the delivery of municipal waste services, because if you think about waste, it is actually a resource, because you can generate energy from waste, you can recycle, reuse, and renew. So we have to completely change the way in which we engage in the waste management delivery process so that we leverage off the resource that the waste has become.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, Louis, last question, then I'll ask the last one.
Mr. May, not really a question. This is a leadership platform, so we look for certain things over the years in quality leaders. We express appreciation Mr. Mayor, for your inclusive attitude, the big picture attitude you show, and we wish you the best, because the emotionality nowadays in modern politics seems to override often the maturity part of it. So we thank you for that, and may you go forward well.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
All right. What defines you as a leader? Finally, if we were to ask the people that work with you every day, how would they define you as a leader? I'm interested in that.
I think in many ways the people that I work with sometimes think I ask for the impossible, because I always say that the task is so enormous that there's no time to rest. We need to focus on the task of ensuring that we build an inclusive, integrated city. And I focus a lot on policy and policy outputs. I suppose it has a lot to do with my studies and my orientation. So in terms of individual traits, I would think about it as an inclusive form of leadership that leverages of the capabilities of the people that you work with.
Okay. So, Mr. Tower, one
other question here. What's next for someone who's been mayor? What are your career ambitions, if one were to ask it in this way? What would be next for you? Whether you get the 5 years or you don't get it.
You really think that the mayor is going to give you an answer? go for it, mayor. Try. Do the diversion one.
Well, it would be in public service in one form or another. I do think that I'm a public servant by orientation.
Uh-huh.
So it would still be in public service. I am looking at options, including international options, such as joining one of the UN agencies. I think there's a lot of exciting work happening there, and I guess the role that Johannesburg is playing at an international level just exposes you to the influence of those institutions and the difference you can make, not just in South Africa, but in the world.
Fantastic.
So, Mayor, finally, I think the old man, Louis Groenewald, was right. We wish you well. If you win, which I'm sure if I asked you if you're confident that you will, you'll say yes. But we wish you success. I mean, anyone, doesn't matter whether you're DA or EFF, who wishes the mayor or the president of the country to fail is immature, because it impacts all of us. So we wish you well, and may you achieve your vision.
Thank you very much, Martin.
And we'll obviously join you on your victory lap again here on the leadership platform.
Yes.
Well, I would want to do that. I would come back and possibly visit you.
We want you inside.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mayor.
Thank you very much.
All the best. All right, that's Mayor Park Tau, the current mayor, which makes his campaign a little bit different from some of the others,
incumbent.
Isn't it? I mean, if you look at Tshwane, both of those are just incumbents. Yeah. Well, not even, you know, they're candidates. So
one was, and I don't know if he's in the running.
Yeah.
I think he's not.
All right, so I mean, that was an interesting conversation. I've always liked the sound of him, and we'll see how he's going to do. So, gentlemen, let's analyze that for a moment. But we've got about 10 minutes, and then we're going to put the mayoral candidate for the DA in Tshwane on the line, and then we'll put the mayoral candidate for DA on the line for Johannesburg, Herman Mashaba, in the second half of the show. But a question you raised, Alice, I think it was even last week, has the political leadership changed, or have political leaders changed over the years, decades, centuries? And I think we need to explore that for a few minutes. And I have kind of two questions there, almost three. The one is, to what extent has the political environment around politicians changed?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, to what extent has the follower, the voter, changed? And then finally, has the political leader of today adapted to those two realities? So for me, you've got the environment, the context to some degree. Then you've got the follower, the voter in political terms. And then you've got the question whether the politician has adapted to that.
Arden, can just mention, bear in mind that your three questions are very relevant to any leader out there.
Yeah.
It's not just the politicians, because everybody's impacted by the things that
totally. That
has asked our mayor as well.
How has the political environment around politicians changed? Because we can just say, oh, has the environment changed? But we are looking at politics this week in South Africa, because we have local elections that some say will have a national implication, even though it's local. But your thoughts, gentlemen? I mean, I've got a few things. I remember Kgalema Motlanthe, former president of South Africa, who sat in that very chair, and he mentioned something, old man, called the reward reality. Do you remember that? What do you remember that he said about that, which I think has bearing on politicians?
Arden, the question we asked, remember, which prompted his reply, was what about corruption within the ANC and all over the place? And he mentioned that the old days in the struggle, The reward was freedom, nothing tangible. Nowadays, the reward reality has changed, and that's why people are opting for various, quite frankly, corrupt options as well, because opportunities there. That doesn't excuse the corruption, but what he's saying, that we've got to cope with the new reality out there. So politicians, they must show it a kind of character which we expected perhaps in the past, and not always getting.
He was saying the reward in the past was only you were in exile or in jail, or there was no reward in a specific sense. Now there's tenders, now there's financial reward, now there's all kinds of, you know, PhDs handed out. There's lots of rewards, and the reality has changed, and that tests people's value system, it tests their approach to life. So that's an important thing that's changed. Alice, you want to come?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think your question leads us back to something that we spoke about when the former finance minister was here, that if you look at leadership in a continuum, what has affected leadership, whether you talk about the leader, the environment, and what's expected in terms of deliverables, is the fact that time has become compressed, you know, and the environment in which the leaders are leading has become very complex. There's complexity through which they have to lead, and all those things, I think, have to become something that leaders are aware of so that they can adapt. You know, I was looking yesterday at all these rallies that were being held. We know that that's been a tradition. You know, in the U.S., you've seen the big, you know, party conventions and things. Yet, how much of that, I ask myself, still speaks to what the new voter, the modern-day voter, who has access to pretty much all this information through social media, radio, TV, and so forth, how much of those conventions are just merely, you know, checking the box kind of exercise?
So you have to have a big stadium full of people before the election.
Yet the leaders know for a fact that they have to come up with new ways of talking to the expectations of the masses.
And we've tested this now, and I kind of hinted at it in a few minutes with the mayor of Johannesburg, is we sent that tweet out. And it was retweeted quite extensively. We're not small on social media, you know, with all our partners.
Well, what was the tweet specifically?
The tweet was inviting them to come onto the show talk to the audience.
Or else.
There was no or else.
Okay.
And the only reaction we got was from Herman Mashaba, who sent a direct message. And he then put me onto his colleague in Tshwane, of course. And then we had to, on our own, go and engage the ANC mayoral candidates. And luckily we got the mayor of Johannesburg, which is fantastic. But just, it was a bit of a test to see, and that's my other point here, the reality, you brought it up with the mayor, the environment has changed in terms of social media. So that's a big component that has changed the world in which politicians lead, Louis.
I didn't just point, building on your questions, and also what Ellis was saying, the need for preparation for leaders is far more intense than before. Now, one form of preparation is, you see the American election as well, the one side makes all the politically correct decisions. They've been advised by panels of experts, etc. The other side, Trump, he speaks from the heart, and boy, he's paying a price for it. But the point is, he's authentic. And I'm telling you, America mustn't underestimate what's happening there. Now, right now, we find, even our sessions with the youth leaders last week, remember, that they're looking for authenticity. So some people, you have to prepare for all the environments that Ella spoke about. But just make sure that preparation also boils down to principle, because people will sense that you're not authentic, what you're saying. And this is the new test of leadership. You must be authentic.
But listening to Parks, I mean, I think what I felt that he's someone who's comfortable with where he is. Sure when you talk to him, and there'll be a huge difference in terms of, you know, let's get them running, you know, let's get this thing sorted out, these problems and so forth. Yet Parks, obviously, as an incumbent, he feels that, you know, he knows what needs to be done and how things that haven't been done, you know, became such.
There's a sense of realism there, isn't there?
But Arjun, you know, my concern is we've had several people, Mushlanti is one, etc., that nowadays we seem to sideline these balanced leaders, and I'm worried about people, whether he wins election or not. But you know, this mayor is a mature person. We shouldn't lose people. He's already speaking of possibly participating in overseas aid organizations, etc. Why? Because they'll appreciate him. But we need people like that, and we find more. I mean, these people are being sidelined because they're not part of the new emotional surges out there.
I like what I heard. I mean, he says he calls himself a public servant. You know, so there's we've said this before, there's a greater need for servant leadership, you know, leadership that puts people's interest before your personal interest as a leader.
He does reflect that.
Let me tell you what's happened with him here. And I know I'm kind of judging from a distance, but we worked through his office. And all the way you were connected with this person and that person, all the way through, from last week Thursday.
Layers
all the way through. In the end, they were under pressure to give us the phone number of someone who was right now with him 15 minutes ago, 15 minutes before the show. The only thing that came between us interviewing him for 15 minutes and or not was that guy going to Parks Tower and saying, do you want to be on the show and be interviewed? And he obviously said yes. Probably not knowing much about us in a sense. He's heard something vaguely here and there.
Yeah.
But it does show his availability. The other thing that's changed in the environment is politicians now lead with more context. In other words, their performance is much more visible and clear to an ordinary citizen because of our connectivity as a society. So that is their behavior is much more visible. Again, your question to him. So that's changed. We're now in a new world. They call it the third wave after the Industrial Revolution. So information is the big issue and the accessibility of that.
I think it's important to also reflect on the point you mentioned about the follower. So I think Wednesday, the choice is between continuity and something new.
Oh.
But that new and continuity would be informed by what kind of frustrations people feel they are dealing with and what kind of leadership that they are aspiring to. Obviously, based on the marketing that all these people have done in terms of trying to sell themselves. So it's an interesting election to watch in that regard. And obviously, who knows, maybe there'll be coalitions here in Joburg too.
Yeah. It's just interesting, you know, I listen to voter comments when the politicians visit them and their clear frustrations where they express the fact that we see you now and 5 years later we'll see you again, Mr. or Mrs. Politician. After another 5 years. And we almost accept that now. We accept that from politicians. We accept an unauthentic kind of delivery and speech from them. And then we go and we vote and we know that they're not going to do what they said and all the problem. It's kind of ridiculous. It's a very unauthentic situation. On the follower side, how has the follower changed? They're more informed, as we said. They're more insistent on delivery.
Hopefully. Because, again, that becomes a debatable issue over time, whether the access to all these tools and platforms makes the followers, us and everyone else, more informed, better informed, or just, you know, are busy juggling with a whole lot of information, you know, wave that we can't even deal with, and therefore, you know, the truth gets lost between that massive amount of information that one has to wrestle with.
Boils down was Ellis's concern about the quality of journalism. We're supposed to reflect these things, and we're losing the wise ones out there.
Yeah, it's a sad situation, that.
And the big question we have to ask ourselves is, if the follower has changed, has the follower changed, or are we just in that mode of accepting this is politics and just, you know...
But have you sensed, Adrian, that somehow there's a bit of indifference? You know, I hear a lot of people saying, it doesn't matter whether we vote or not. You know, the ANC is going to win. You know, it's like, you know, people are kind of resigned to that fact, whether it's true or not. I don't know what informs that.
I don't know. I mean, for example,
elections were about contestation.
But we're actually saying to the mayor of Johannesburg, which is an ANC man, if you win, we'll talk to you again. There's actually this possibility in people's minds that Joburg can be won by the DA, or it could be very close. And same with Tshwane. And as we know in PE, or is it what's that term called?
Nelson Mandela Bay.
Nelson Mandela Bay. Yeah. So there is this belief. But well, I think let's park the conversation as we line ourselves up for the let's see if we're going to get on the line our mayoral candidate for Tshwane. That's what's going to happen next. We've got to get them on the line, and then we're going to have a same kind of conversation as we did with Parks Tau, the mayoral candidate and current mayor of Johannesburg, who represents the ANC, of course. And the big question has, do you think politicians have cottoned on to the fact that this change has happened? Have they really cottoned on to it, this environment that's changed, as well as the follower? I don't. I think intellectually maybe, but have they really in their heart of hearts?
But you know, politicians are structural animals, eh? Mm-hmm. Because to even become a mayoral candidate, you've had to come through a structure.
Mm.
And the structure often means rules and, you know, regulations and the politics. The question is, who do we think among all the parties is very agile in terms of you know, talking to the masses out there and deploying the very tools that we've been discussing.
Okay.
Who do you think is best suited?
All right, quick break, 30 seconds, and then we have on the line Solim Simanga, a man who's quite strong on Twitter and quite active, which we like. Social media is where things are going. And he is the mayoral candidate for Tshwane on behalf of the DA. So we're going to have a 15-minute conversation with him and then with Herman Mashaba, who's running for Johannesburg. And we just had Parks Tau. So look forward to that one. I haven't spoken to him before. Let's see what his vision is and where he's going as a leader. Stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.